Okay, well, yeah, it's Thanksgiving week, and tonight we'll come and share with each other and with God some of the things we're thankful to Him for, and we'll have a little time of worship as well, hopefully something fun. Eating pie, of course, is fun, but maybe something additional. This morning, I want to share with you some of the amazing things about life that I am thankful for today. There are so many things in the world we find ourselves in that are really, truly incredible. And I'm just going to start out today with the moon, okay? I think the moon is amazing. God gave us this giant nightlight in the sky. It's rather striking. There just happens to be this source of light at nighttime, just bright enough that you can kind of see by, but not so bright that it overwhelms the darkness. It's a nightlight. And you don't have to plug it in. Did you know that you were all fascinated by the moon when you were about 2 years old? I know this is true because I have watched my daughters here over the last few years. And when they were both two, which is, you know, that's where Greta is now, both of them were in love with the moon and excitedly pointed out every time they see it in the sky or even in books, it's the moon, woo! And I do think that there's just something comforting and beautiful and incredible about it. It's too bad that we lose that sense of awe as we grow up, but the moon remains an awesome thing. And did you know that the moon actually performs an important function on our planet other than being our nightlight? Maybe you know this. We know that the Earth has gravity and pulls things towards it, but the moon also has gravity, and as the moon rotates around the Earth, its gravity pulls slightly on our ocean water. And this is one of the things that's responsible for the fact that our oceans have tides. So high tide is when the water is getting pulled by the gravity of the moon. And I'm probably not saying that quite technically correct, but that it's something like that anyway. I think I'm close. So the moon helps create the tides. And this in and out of ocean tides in our world are vital to many of the Earth's ecosystems and creatures. So the tides support life in many parts of this world, thanks to the moon. It's an amazing thing about life, and I'm thankful for the moon today. And since we're already gazing up at the sky in our minds now and thinking about amazing things, how about that universe up there? We drive our cars at 60, 70 miles an hour on the highway. Light travels at 671 million miles per hour. 671 million miles per hour. According to the NASA website, our sun is 93 million miles from Earth. So that means that if we could hop into the Star Trek Enterprise spaceship and actually travel at the speed of light, we would be at our sun in quite a bit less than an hour, actually. However, to give you an idea of the estimated size of the galaxy that our Earth and sun are a part of, the Milky Way galaxy, NASA estimates that even if you were traveling at the speed of light, 671 million miles per hour, it would take you to get from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other 100,000 years to get there. The Milky Way galaxy is gargantuan. And what is even more mind-blowing than that is the fact that there are other galaxies out there besides the Milky Way. Wow, right? In our galaxy alone, there are estimated to be between 200 and 400 billion stars and an estimated 100 billion planets. I mean, this stuff is kind of hard to even comprehend, right? This unfathomable vastness that is the universe and all that is going on out there with, you know, suns dying and exploding and black holes and cosmic collisions occurring, to us, it all just looks like a peaceful work of art as we stare up into the sky at night, twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's amazing. I'm thankful for the night sky and the wonder that the universe inspires. Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. All right, so spiders and their webs are a little creepy. We will all acknowledge that, but they are also amazing. Author Autumn Spann writes that spiders are like tiny silk production factories. Inside their bodies, thread is stored as a highly concentrated liquid. And now this next part, I had no idea. A common garden spider can produce as many as 7 different types of silk, each made up of a different sequence of proteins. Each type of thread that the spider makes serves a distinct purpose. One, for example, makes the web stretchy to better absorb the impact of insects smacking into it. Another makes the thread less brittle. Other proteins protect the threads from bacteria and keep them moist. And then there is the process of the spider's construction of the web. Much of this now is from an author named Alicia Bautista, although I have greatly paraphrased her to try to help this make some sense. She writes that the spider will start by finding 2 vertical structures that can support the web, and after climbing up one of those supports, the spider perfectly predicts the length of silk that it will need to reach the other vertical support. A gentle gust of wind is all the spider needs to carry it to the other side. From that first strand, the spider will build a frame and next create what looks like spokes on a wheel. Then the spider will begin to form a web spiral around those spokes, creating a temporary logarithmic spiral. Okay, I'll say that again. Creating a temporary logarithmic spiral. I need to show you what a logarithmic spiral is rather than try to explain it, because it's been way too long since I've taken a geometry class for me to remember what the words and the definition of a logarithmic spiral mean. But you'll recognize the shape. Think the shape of a nautilus shell. What I do know is that the logarithmic spiral sounds mathematical because it is. There is a mathematical precision to it that can be described in a mathematical formula, a formula that I looked at, but again, did not understand. And so then, my friends, not only does the spider know how to make this precise mathematical spiral, but that same spiral, the logarithmic spiral, this spiral is found throughout nature. I've already mentioned the shell of a nautilus, but you'll see the same spiral in an overhead view of a tropical cyclone storm. You would be able to see it again in how a hawk circles its prey if the prey is running in a straight line, in how flying insects approach a light source. We talked about galaxies just a moment ago. Some galaxies are called spiral galaxies, and they are laid out on that massive scale in the shape of a logarithmic spiral. It's fascinating. So I said a moment ago that the spider creates a temporary logarithmic spiral. That's because the spider, after completing that spiral, then turns around and spins inward, creating an arithmetic spiral, while at the same time eating and destroying the logarithmic spiral. Okay? Now, an arithmetic spiral is more basic. Here's a picture of it. But it is no less mathematically precise. In an arithmetic spiral, I have read, a line drawn outward from the center crosses each successive turn of the spiral at the exact same distance. And apparently there are other cool math-related things about the arithmetic spiral as well. Again, things I could not understand. I kept typing into Google, easy explanation of the arithmetic spiral. Nothing was easy. I understood. Okay, it crosses at the same distance. Okay, exact same distance. I get that. In the end, the spider retreats to the center of its web, suspends itself upside down, motionless, awaiting its prey. So, isn't it remarkable that these tiny little bugs know how to make logarithmic and arithmetic spirals? That certainly is remarkable. Well, it's a little too weird for me to say that I'm thankful for spiders this morning, so instead I will say that I am thankful for the excitement that comes from learning what they can do, all right? The awesome things they can do. There are other things that are amazing about this world we live in that I'm thankful for that don't take so long to explain. I think it's amazing that the tree leaves turn the colors that they do in the fall. Why should they do that? It's one thing to understand what's happening inside the leaves that makes them change color, but you still have that question of why these changes create colors that look so beautiful to our eyes. I mean, couldn't the pigments in the leaves just kind of all look grayish and then the leaves just fall off? I think they could, but they don't. They happen to create colors that are so stunning. I'm amazed by the beauty of the fall, and I'm thankful for it. On the flip side, I'm even more grateful for the spring, how everything around us just explodes back into life. Why should all of these things that appear to have frozen and died come back with such vigor? It's an amazing thing to watch happen every spring, and I'm so thankful for it. So we live in this world full of amazing things, and we live in a world full of amazing beauty. Here's a picture of something called the wave. It's not water. This wave is located in Arizona, and it is a large stretch of red sandstone that is embedded with symmetrical wavy lines that are quite impressive in their beauty, as you can see. And then here is a picture of the Vadhu Island in the Maldives. On the beaches of this island, phytoplankton floating in the ocean waves at night light up, looking like bright Christmas lights scattered across the shoreline. It's beautiful. Of course, there are far more normal, routine, beautiful things that we see in our community here, and we talk about these things from time to time. The greens and the blues of the rural summer skyline, the colors of birds and flowers and so on. You can think of many things. I'm amazed by the beauty in this world, and I'm thankful for it today. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Well, it's not only the world I'm amazed by. I'm amazed by us, we human beings. Let's start with our bodies. My daughter Maya was asking the other day what it meant to get stitches. And so Anna and I reminded her that she is familiar with stitching fabric together. And we said, well, that's essentially what's happening. You know, when a person goes to the doctor to get stitches, the doctor is taking skin that has been cut and pulling those pieces back together, stitching them shut. And I said to Maya, and then, incredibly, the skin that has been stitched together heals. And you can cut the thread out of there, and your skin is basically back to normal. And you know, that actually is really an amazing thing. Our bodies can, at times, heal themselves in what, if you had never seen it before, it could be described as a miraculous thing. And you know what? I think this gives us a clue about what might be possible in terms of healing within the body under different circumstances, a circumstance like resurrection, perhaps. Well, I looked up some new facts for you about our bodies, so you don't have to hear me recycle some that I have told in sermons over and over. Here's some new ones for you. There are 1 trillion nerves powering your memory. Studies have shown that after viewing 2,500 images for 3 seconds each, participants could recall if they had seen the images before with 92% accuracy. So I'll read that for you again. Studies have shown that after viewing 2,500 images for 3 seconds each, participants could recall if they had seen the images before with 92% accuracy. That's our memory. It's impressive. Our eyes can distinguish between 2 and 7 million different colors or shades of color. The femur bone is the strongest bone in the human body. It can hold between 1,800 to 2,500 pounds laid upon it without breaking. Laid upon it, not forced upon it. Laid end to end, an adult's blood vessels could circle the Earth's equators 4 times. Another way of looking at that is by noting that in 24 hours, the blood in the body travels a total of 12,000 miles. So 12,000 miles traveled in 24 hours in our bodies. It's quite a network of blood vessels. And those red blood cells that are, of course, tasked with carrying around the oxygen that our bodies need are the only blood cells in our, are the only cells in our bodies that don't have a nucleus. Why? Well, since they lack a nucleus, each red blood cell has more room to carry oxygen. Purpose, design, function. There's so much obvious design within our bodies. Each part has function and purpose. And as I often point out, the functionality is then all put together into a package that looks good. I'm glad God covered us up. We don't have to look at muscles and blood and ligaments. He covered us up and we look good. Our eyes, our smiles, our hair, our rosy cheeks, our bodies can be quite beautiful. It's really an outstanding thing. All of that design and function wrapped up into a beautiful package. And one last general fact about our bodies. Remember that for about 30 minutes, each person on earth was a single solitary cell. Our bodies are amazing. I'm thankful for my body today and what it can do. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Well, of course, our bodies aren't the only interesting and amazing things about human beings. We can think of all the astounding things that humans have been able to figure out how to do. Get to the moon and walk on it and come back. Fairly astounding. We know how to build tall towers that can withstand gale force winds and earthquakes. Humans have developed vaccines that have wiped out some of the greatest diseases known in history. Humans have harnessed the power of electricity and turned that into so many incredible things. We know how to send TV and radio signals invisibly over the air and so on. Amazing stuff. And there is the creativity of human beings. You know, I sometimes think with all of the people in the world now and all of the people who have lived in the world in the past, you would think that we would already have told every possible joke and come up with every possible melody by now. But it seems that human beings are able to come up with something new almost every day that makes us laugh and some new melody that makes us sing along. It's incredible, actually, the creativity we have. And of course, there's joy in these things, and laughter and in music. Human beings have an amazing capacity for selflessness and caring and love. It's not always demonstrated, but we know the capacity is there. We've seen it. And I know I bring this up to a fair amount, but it's worth mentioning again. Think of the meaning that is found in our relationships with one another. I had that privilege of marrying John and Tasha yesterday. And, you know, think of the power that can be found in the bond between husband and wife, or the deep meaning to be experienced in the relationship between parent and child. And deep, long-time friendships can be so satisfying and meaningful. What explains these things? So I'm amazed by human beings. I'm thankful today for who I was created to be. I'm thankful for all of you, who you were created to be. I'm thankful for the abilities and capabilities that God has given to us, the meaning to be found in our relationships with one another. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Yeah, so these are all things I'm thankful for today. So many amazing things to be found in our world, to be found within us. Incredible stuff. Now, I also want to say this morning that there is no denying that this life that we experience is also quite perplexing. While we can write out a long list of things that amaze and excite us about life, we can also write out a pretty long list of things that shock and sadden us, even maybe horrify us. There are so many things that happen in life that make us shout, "It's not supposed to be that way," or "Why, God?" There are things that make us doubt, to be frank with you, that there could be a good God behind the creation. But I want to share a thought with you. When I hear about children who are sick, or terrorist beheadings, or mass shootings, even in our own country, and when those doubts about God start to creep into my head, I ask myself this: which proposition is more unlikely, A or B? Proposition A, that there is a good and loving God behind all of the good and love that we see and experience in the world, and there is some good reason that this God allows the pain and the awful things to happen. Or, proposition B, there is no God out there, and all of the good and love that we see and experience in the world is there by chance and is the result of random, impersonal, and unintentional forces. So I ask myself, which is the most unlikely of those two options to be true? Now, there are difficulties in believing proposition A, believing in a good God. I won't deny it. Children with cancer, etc. I don't want to minimize that. But if you decide that there cannot be a good God out there because of the terrible things that occur in this world, then you have to go to proposition B, don't you? And that means that you have to believe that random, impersonal, and unintentional forces in the universe are the explanation for the power in the relationship felt between parent and child, for the love and meaning that's experienced and shared between human beings, for the existence of human beings, these creatures who can laugh and write music and build skyscrapers and airplanes and get a person into space and back. If you go with proposition B, then you have to believe that random, impersonal, and unintentional forces in the universe are the explanation for the existence of our bodies, these bodies that are divided into individual parts, each with their own intricate function and obvious design, all coming together into a beautiful unity. Those unintentional and random forces would have to be the explanation for the existence of the stunning beauty of the wave in Arizona and the glittering lights in the waters of the Maldives. The leaves on our trees that don't just turn gray, but go down in the fall in a blaze of yellow, orange, and red. A world that explodes back to life each spring. You would have to believe that random, impersonal, and unintentional forces in the universe are the explanation for the fact that spiders and mollusks know how to create mathematically perfect spirals. And the fact that there is an unimaginably massive universe out there that all gets summed up for us in a gorgeous night sky that we love to look at. Capped off with a terrific nightlight called the moon. So when I start to think about the awful things that happen in this world and I start to doubt, I ask myself, which proposition is more unlikely, proposition A or proposition B? And you know what? I just could never believe in proposition B. That, to me, is the far more unlikely proposition to be true. So that brings me back to proposition A, that there must be a personal, intentional, moral designer out there that explains all of these things that we've thought about today. And then add to that the fact that I also then remember there is strong evidence to support the belief that Jesus is who the Bible says he is. There's good evidence to believe that Jesus actually was resurrected. And then I also remember how the Bible has blown me away and continues to captivate me day after day. And then I also remember how I have seen God at work in my own life. And then finally, I begin to relax again. So part of the reason I'm thankful for all these things I've mentioned to you here this morning is because in them I see the fingerprints of God. Gives me hope and joy. In essence, then, I guess the thing I'm really thankful for today is God himself. Not just the things that God created, but God himself. And I'm thankful for his son, Jesus Christ, who showed me that God is love, who died so that I could be forgiven for my sins if I would make him my Lord, who told me that there is a heaven for the forgiven followers of God to go to after this life, a heaven that will be even more full of amazing things. This Sunday before Thanksgiving, these are some things I am thankful for. Will you bow with me in prayer? And Lord God, in prayer now to you, I will repeat the words of the psalmist from so long ago. You, O God, determine the number of stars. You give to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. You cover the heavens with clouds. You prepare rain for the earth. You make grass grow on the hills. You give to the beasts their food. You give snow like wool. You scatter frost like ashes. You hurl down your crystals of ice like crumbs. Then you send your word and melt them. You make your wind blow and the waters flow. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We give you thanks and praise today, our great designer and maker, our loving Father God. Amen.